closer you get and the more you reflect Him, it's a good thing. The weariness of pretense is gone. The spirit of the age, the entitlement, like, come on, I've worked really hard. I deserve this. It's gone. Finances, it all belongs to Him. Every dollar, everything, including where you're sitting right now, it all belongs to Him. Intimacy with God draws us closer to reality, that this is all God's. It's all about God. And when His heart and our heart comes together, it's a beautiful collaboration where Advent really does mean something. It's not more. It's less of this and more of God. And the phones don't get in the way. Nothing gets in the way. And things that are in the way find their place because God is first. I love that little clip. I'm reminded of that as it still is very busy on the island. And for certain groups in here, you know what I'm talking about. It just amps up a little bit with special events and other things that happen in the community. Be mindful of God constantly. That's why we're here this morning. Take your notes this morning just briefly. I have stumbled into some great Christmas music. Is there anyone here that loves Christmas music? Put your hand up proudly in the room. That is amazing. I did not expect that. Wow. Okay, cool. So I feel a lot better now. I'm not talking traditional stuff. I go all the way back to even some good old classic Fred Waring, Perry Como, and some good classic stuff. Nat, all the guys, and all the way up to, when you put Mariah Carey on there and I hear it, I start doing this too, all right? Others are like, Hops, come on. I listen to all of it. I'm in Vons Express, and of course, they're always playing whatever's playing in there on the radio, and I'll start singing it. I love all of it. I really do. Some of it gets monotonous. Some of it makes you want to go nuts. Some of it just totally distracts, and I realize that. I found an album this week put out by some rap artists that love Jesus. It's possible. And because I work with students, I'm into all different types of music, but I'm looking for the message. As I heard this summer, there's no such thing as Christian music. Only Christian lyrics, okay? Music can sound however it sounds. What changes someone's life are the words. And I came across this great little album here, and I actually put a title up there for you. You might want to stumble into this. You're looking for some great stuff for your family, or even have some younger folks in your home. This right here, Falling on My Knees, Giving Everything to the King of Kings, was a lyric that came in the song called What a Time. What a Time Such as This. And it's actually taken from We Three Kings and O Come, O Come, Emmanuel and Joy to the World, these beautiful songs that have been added to, and you hear the same message in the song over and over again, and I loved it. And out of this, something stumbled very, very beautifully together as Jesus sewed together a service thinking of others. Now, what John was just saying on the screen here is saying intimacy with God is what starts everything, right? It takes precedence over everything, including your to-do list in the morning. The weather, the news, if a flag is up or two flags is up, God comes first. I get it. And then here we are talking benevolence this morning and thinking of our community this morning. Where are we getting this from? Let's see. Take a look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. And I read this to you this morning from The Message. Great little translation allowing you guys to hear modern day English here that I think can put things easy to understand. When the Pharisees heard how he had bested the Sadducees, okay, this is great, they gathered their forces for an assault. Sounds like this battle about to start, right? But there was. They came together. One of their religion scholars spoke for them, posing a question they hoped would show Jesus up. Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important? Pause. Jesus answers, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important. The first on any list, but there is a second alongside it. Here's what he said. Love others as well as you love yourself. That's how this fits together. You cannot have one without the other. These two commands are pegs, it says. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them. Does this make sense? It comes down to these two things. Love God, love others. Everything we have hangs on this balance. What do you love God about? What do you love about Him? What's most important to you about God Himself? Think about that for a minute. Has God met your needs? Does He come to you in a different light than others see Him? What has God done for you? Who is God to you? And the next question, look at your notes. How do you love God? How do I do this and love others? I don't really have the plan. So I'm asking, well, how do you love anything? Time. Investing time. We just heard John say on the screen a minute ago, you're going to have to carve this out. And it will take a little bit of effort if you're not used to doing this, but give it a chance. Yesterday, my soccer team did very, very well. They went out and won their first game of the season. It was a sound win. It was a tough game, all the things that go with it. But I'll tell you what, they didn't start the day before. Some of them had started last March. Some of them, 6:15 in the morning, July 3rd, began coming out 3 days a week, early in the morning. Some went into the weight room, started lifting weights. Over and over again, I have stories of kids that have grown up through the program, they're in their junior and senior year, that understand what it takes to go deeper in the season. To win, you have to start somewhere and be committed. There's discipline in your life that says, I'm going to put off this stuff and I'm going to go with this. I want this to happen for me. Where am I going with this? To really understand intimacy with God, you're going to have to drop some stuff, it says here, and add some stuff. We understand that when benevolence is a big deal here, something's got to go up and something's got to go down. As I heard it this week in our finance meeting, we believe our prayers should go up and our knees should go down. When I look at commitment with God and what it takes, it's going to take commitment in your life. Shirking something to the side to say, He is my number one. This is what it looks like. Time and demonstrating value. These things are where you find, where you put your loving God and loving others. Where that value lies is how you see God. Look at the second here. You make God the treasure of your life. Honestly looking to Him, honestly understanding from Him there is life. He is my most valued treasure. There's nothing above God. And as a result, putting Him first gives you the desires of your heart. What do we cling to? Life is a journey of the heart, and it requires the mind. For my sons that are in such a world that is so technical, and trying to work on their purity, understanding the Holy Spirit is ultimately in control, as they enter those teenage years and young adult years where things get really easy on cell phones especially, for their eyes and their heart to fail. As a father, almost like the ever-ready bunny with a clanging cymbal, constantly reminding them, I would say, son, guard your heart, guard your mind. Only to find out that pornography and other things is just as addicting to young ladies as it is to guys in today's world. Madison, guard your heart, guard your mind. Grace, guard your heart, guard your mind. Life is a journey of the heart that requires the mind, not the other way around. And the church sometimes gets this backwards and makes knowing the right things the center of life. I'm telling you that it's not. The heart is the center of life. Desire is always where the action is. We know this. However, staying alive to our desire is not enough. We know that only too well. We must bring the truth into our hearts to guard our desire. And this is the other half of the mission. And here we teach, and at our men's group we teach, and in our women's group we teach, literally, the recovery of the heart and the recovery of who you are. Literally taking place in many quarters, okay? My fear now is that we will abandon the pursuit of truth and try to base our journey on feelings and intuition. These are big moments that are happening in your life right now. God is after you. He literally wants you to understand your heart is central. Following your heart, though, has become a popular message. And in our culture, or as the artist Sting loves to sing, trust your soul. I heard that song by him. It will not work. Our spiritual fathers and mothers knew this only too well. I've run into this with my own father. As head knowledge went past heart knowledge. A lot of head knowledge. This quote from Thomas Akempis: our own opinion and our own sense do often deceive us, and they discern but little. We've got to cling to the truth for dear life. And so our spiritual family members from the past that have urged us to bring both your heart and your mind together. The mind is a filter to the heart. Do you get me? So if you're going to guard the wellspring of life, as David calls it, in your heart, the things that God is wanting to change about you and rescue you into, you must work on the filter that protects it, the mind. For instance, as John has put it before, a kiss. The definition of a kiss. Well, scientifically, it's two mandibles coming together for a meaningful amount of time, just a small window of time. Sometimes saliva is exchanged, and there they sit. And right? Are you tracking with? What is a kiss? What transfers in a kiss? All the beauty, all the passion. It's the culmination of something when you hand someone over your lips in a kiss that says, oh, such value. And the message that's transferred. But scientifically speaking, two mandibles coming together for a small window of time. Saliva possibly exchanged. Come on. The heart is central. The message of the gospel is way bigger than just more theology. Jesus says, I've come to set something free, and that is your heart. How do you handle desire? This morning I was looking at this in light of our benevolence program here, which is very low because our community needs are very high. We have great desires. This week I met with a young man who actually has had some serious addictions in his life, but he's got his life turned around, and he's got some great vision on the table. And he actually wants to start his own business. He would love to have one here in Avalon. For right now, he's thinking it may be elsewhere. And for the last year and a half, he's prayed hard, he said, about starting his own company. He's very young. It has to do with a solar industry, so he feels like he's doing well with that idea here in Southern California. But he hasn't heard from God. And he brought into his life a new relationship with a young lady. And they started living together. And as a result, there's just things outside of God's word that says you're not going to get a blessing if you jump ahead of God and what he has for you and how to handle a relationship. So he came to me going, I'm just not getting any blessing going on. I don't understand it. I think I'm doing things right. Am I doing things right? I said, it's not up to me, bro. Let's see what God says about relationships. Let's see where he fits in what you're asking. Can you answer a couple questions for me? And so I asked a few. And what he ended up saying is, well, I've gone to desire in two different ways. And it's well defined here because I've heard this before, and this is what I believe. He said, I've gone to this road over here that says, I've asked you, and I've asked you, and I've asked you. God, you know I love you. I'm not hearing anything. So you know what? I'm just going to take this into my own hands. And what I'm going to do is do what I think is right. And I'm just going to push forward. Because I'm not hearing anything from you. I've just got to do what I got to do. You know I love you, God. But I'm just going to do what I got to do. Right? So he's been over here. And then you have this guy over here on this road. And he's turned to this too. And this one says, God, you know you're my desire. I love you. I haven't heard anything. I've asked and I've asked and I've asked. maybe I shouldn't have asked to begin with. In fact, maybe I should just shut up. I mean, just kind of do my thing, but maybe I'm not worthy of asking. Maybe my question from the very beginning was self-centered and I'm not even qualified to ask. And they settle into resignation completely, so much so that it just ends in this apathetic life or anarchy and death follows. I don't even matter. I shouldn't even be here. Or this road in the middle. My friend found it on his own that says, Lord, you are my desire. And as a result of you being number one, I know that you will give me my heart's desires as only you can do it, when you will do it, and how you will do it. And I leave that to you. And friends, that's the high road. When you love God and you love others, and in that order, and you understand intimacy with God, it sets up walking with Him and a relationship with Him. You understand that He comes first. And that desiring on either side doesn't end in death or self-centeredness. It ends in God because it begins with God. Amen? It makes sense. Relationships find their place. Lord, you are my desire is your first fill-in. And relationships find their place. Do I marry this person? Is she the right one for me? Should I start dating them? Hey, should I end this relationship? God comes first. And He says, I will give you your desires. I know your heart better than anyone. Trust me, and I'm going to let you know what that feels like. I'm going to let you know. You can rest in me. And I'm going to settle these things that you're in conflict with. I'll help you with those. But He comes first. Amen to that. It just lets you lower your shoulders. It's not up to you. Loving God is. But after that takes place, it's not up to you. You're off the hook. Loving God is most important. Loving others, second. We treat people differently because sometimes there's other motives involved. I know I've had these. Last week we talked about the ricochet rule and the different rules, the hidden motives rules, the things that we come in, how we love someone or greet someone in families. A lot of families getting together this time of the year. All these hidden motives that are there to honestly love someone for who they are. Sometimes there's wounds in a person's heart, maybe their upbringing or their loss of an upbringing, maybe an important relative in their life, a dad, a mother, something that didn't go right. As a result, there's woundedness in their life. And when you're around them, there's this high maintenance issue that's always in the way. And it draws, it just makes you so weary. Anybody know somebody like that? Myself. Okay? Because you're high maintenance to someone else if they're not to you. God comes in and says, I want to father you through that. Let me help you with that. In fact, let me take that. I'm going to go back to this stage in your life. And you'll see how I've been there. There were promises there. And unfortunately, when you had a choice to choose my promise, you bought into a lie. Because the enemy is always there to steal, kill, and destroy. So as a result, we make an agreement with the enemy. And those agreements begin to play their part into the way that we live our lives. Do you understand? So you make an agreement with the enemy, you start buying his lies, you start living the lies. And as a result, our life is directed away from God and the life that He has. So God turns around, He says, whoa, let's pray together. I'm sending my Spirit, right? The important side of that triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit comes in to remind you of the promises of God and His Word and what He says. And He says, I want you to step back and I want you to go through this and understand I have never left you. And here's what I wanted you to know through the process. Here's my scripture. Here's my promise. Break the agreement and begin living with me. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's everything. He's needed to reach into our heart and begin working from a new foundation. From the most addicted person here in Avalon, and I don't mean just alcohol, God can reach through that person's life at any age and at any point in time, even in the heaviest addiction, I've seen it, and reach through and establish a new foundation. And whether you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s, He can begin working from a brand new foundation that says, from this point on, something solid. Put a flag here, Andrew, because I don't want you to forget my work in your life. You don't have to go past it anymore. That stuff the enemy was selling, it's done. You've given it to me. Let's begin something new. And all of a sudden, that excavation that's going on begins something solid in your life. And that foundation becomes something to build on, and you become a good king or a good queen over a whole other kingdom underneath you. Some of you are managers. You manage differently. Some of you are administrators, and you have a staff underneath you, and you handle them and handle their issues differently. Some of you are parents, and you have a large family underneath you. You parent differently. That's your kingdom. And underneath you, God sets you up as a good king, not a bad king. We've seen where those end up in Scripture, right? Never heard from again. But the good kings and queens, those that have legacy left behind, because God's come in and He's changed their life. Benevolence is a key word. We look at our community and sense of needing food, clothing, shelter, other needs. Without Christ, we are all benevolent. Amen? And we all need Christ. He completes our needs. He completely meets them all. This last one on here says, all of a sudden, you're with someone and you just get ticked off. It sets you off. Because we're away from God, and all the maintenance issues that are with someone else just start to bug us. Jesus never treated people according to their weaknesses. He didn't. He reached them according to their need. Their weaknesses were met because He met their needs first. And see, this is where I looked at things in this church, and this is not a perfect church, but I looked at things in terms of the people in this church. They are working hard to meet the needs of a community. They honestly understand the heartbeat of this community and want to start here at this base camp before we go global. We want this to be healthy. Amen? We can start something solid here and begin looking outward. And it starts in Avalon, though. People have needs, not just weaknesses. And Jesus went for those needs. What is it you want for me to do for you? He says this morning. If you've come to church this morning, I'll leave you with that question. If you've never been here before, leave here understanding Jesus is right in front of you. And He's saying, what would you like for me to do for you? And be truthful. Hand it to Him. 100% all of it. Why hold back? Let Him know your heart. We need to work through these things and make God the treasure in our lives every day. He's the treasure. He's what we've come looking for. He's what the three kings came looking for. He's what the shepherds came to see. He's what those who are lost and dying and going to hell have hope in. He is the treasure of their soul. He's the author and finisher of their faith. And He'll change your life. And this is the game-changing thought right here to help you understand. God, You're my heart's desire. God, You're my treasure. If our worship team can come up this morning. This is definitely a different service. Because we understand that the main thing, to stay the main thing, has got to be put forward to you in Scripture first. Love God. Love others. Don't get tired of doing it, from Galatians. And this morning I'm going to end things here because we begin giving you a chance to have communion with Him and in this sense. Some of you are listening to what's been said this morning and read what's been put in front of you on Scripture. Maybe you're holding this in your hand and you're looking at it in your notes. And that Scripture has been read over and over again since you were little. Some have come to church since you were little. You've seen these verses over and over again. And the malaise needs to come off. And these verses can come alive when you understand that the heart is central and the enemy's been selling and we have been buying. There is a joy in benevolence giving. There is a joy in coming to a worship service. There is a joy when you see someone in Vons and right up to the Buffalo Nickel as far south as you can meet them. There is a joy because why? Because God has turned your heart upside down because He loves you, you love Him, and He's given you that opportunity to love others. He's the one that gives you that opportunity. The self-centeredness goes away. The disqualification and resignation, I guess I'll never matter up or never measure up and I shouldn't even be dreaming or desiring to begin with. It goes away because God, you're my desire. And I want you first. And I know you know my heart. I know you know which college I'm going to or if I need to start my career or end what I'm doing currently. Big questions, small questions. What do I do with this money you've blessed me with, God? How do I get money to help me with my rent this month, God? We need God. No matter the circumstances. Amen? No matter. This is your time. This service has time dedicated and set aside for you. No more teaching. Just time. Commune with Him. We have a table set up over here under this banner and one right here in the front for convenience, allowing you to literally look at the bread and look at the juice here as the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. It's a reflective time. It's just simply in remembrance of Him, what He's done for you. That's all it is.